Well, good morning to everyone. The start of a new year is always fun because it's fun to look back and remember. And hopefully you guys had some time to do that. I know a lot of times that's what people do when they write their Christmas letter that they send out to everyone. Or it's just kind of a good time to reflect on how the last year went. And then it's also a good time to look forward and make plans and dream. There is a determination that is present at the beginning of the year, unlike any other time, and that's when New Year's resolutions come into play. This year is going to be great because I'm going to make it great, right? This year's resolutions will stick. I'm going to be thinner, smarter, less distracted, richer, and the list goes on of our plans. We fill the unknowns of the coming year with our best ideas and our best intentions, right? I think, though, if we were to actually be given a list of things that were going to actually take place in 2022, we would be less gung-ho and optimistic. And today's situation, right? You have no idea what tomorrow holds. And if the start of 2020 or the start of 2021, we were told everything that was going to take place, a lot of us would kind of go wide-eyed, oh boy. We like to fill the year with our best ideas and best intentions, and yet, in all likelihood, 2022 is going to have a lot of struggles and have a lot of curveballs. That's not to say that we shouldn't be optimistic or we shouldn't make New Year's resolutions. But I think if we were to be given a list of all the things that's going to happen to you or to your family or to our church, or to our nation in 2022, we would go into it more like the first day of your first semester at college. How many of you remember that moment, for those of you that, or even your senior year, that moment, your senior year of that hard class, your teacher just kind of like blankly hands you this thick booklet of a syllabus, and it's all the readings, all the assignments, all the projects, all the important tests are all presented to you at once, and you kind of, I mentioned this to Danny, and Danny said, I remember that moment, and I walked home crying. She's like, I remember the pathway that I was walking as I was crying, holding the syllabus to that semester, to that year, because it's like, I don't have the energy for this. I don't have, how am I going to have a life and do this and get the grades I want, and like, so yes, 2022 will be an adventure, I guarantee you that. As the last couple years have been, as the last decade has been. And yet, as Christians, we have something special. We have a secure hope, right? So today is the start of a new year. So I want to kind of dream together today as a church. Today is the start of a new semester also, so to speak, in the sense that we get to start a new sermon series today. You don't get to see our sermon series logo, which I was going to do a dramatic reveal, so that was kind of stolen from me, but next week, so wait for that next week, because sometimes I spend too much time on that element, but I think it's worthwhile. But my prayer today is that we start the process this new year together as a church. As Jeff said, one of the things we get to do together as a church is discipline one another, in a sense, and in the sense that iron sharpens iron. And so who looks forward to those moments in the coming year? Not really anyone, and yet that is one of the responsibilities and even privileges of a church. Is being a voice of truth and an iron sharpening tool to our fellow believers. So my prayer today is that we start this process of contemplating what God might want to teach us and lead us into in these coming months as a church. Because not only are we starting a new series and a new semester, but in many ways, we're in a new chapter as Memorial Drive Bible Fellowship. We've been in a long season of transition, and then November and December is the holiday season, which is all kind of crazy. But now as a church, we kind of get to settle into new rhythms, new routines, but not settle into complacency. Because I think that God has things in store for Memorial Drive in 2022. And I'm personally starting to dream, and I'm excited about what God is going to do. So that's one of the reasons I picked Ephesians. It's all lining up quite well, and that is a God thing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father God, you are our God and we are your people. We praise you today because you are the eternal creator, holy God. And as we sing, our hearts were made to be in fellowship with you as a deer pants for water, God. We are here to know you, to sing praises to you. And God, we thank you, for you have blessed us mightily, and we acknowledge your goodness in the gifts that you give. And we pray for ourselves that you would guide us in your light in 2022. We pray for our community that you would draw all to yourself this year and use us in any way that you want. We pray for our nation and our world that you would sovereignly work out your glorious plan. We pray that you would be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have spent the last 5 weeks in a Christmas series. And in that Christmas series, we zoomed out, right? We didn't just zoom into the manger season. It was kind of a unique Christmas season for us in that we zoomed out and saw from Genesis 3 all the way up until the Gospels that God had this giant eternal, meaning before the beginning of time, this plan. Right? And this whole plan centered on Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. He was the one that was promised in Genesis 3, Genesis 12, 2 Samuel, Daniel, and all the prophets. And then he came, and it was glorious, this gift of salvation. His blood was the blood of a new covenant. We're going to take communion today, and that's proclaiming the Lord's coming and the Lord's death and this blood of a new covenant that we are in. And so where do we logically, what's a good logical step for us to go as we've zoomed out and seen God's big picture, eternal plan to bring redemption through Jesus Christ, this prophesied new covenant? I think the next logical step is to pick a book that focuses in on that new covenant age, that church age. And so there, in my opinion, there's no better book for that than the book of Ephesians. So for those of you who say, I saw that one coming, if you're in Flipside, in youth group at all, you probably saw that coming, maybe, because Ephesians is kind of a special book for me personally. So yes, this is an emotional fit for me personally. This was the first book I went through when I became youth pastor here about 8 years ago. And there was a reason for it then, and there's a reason for it now. It has been special for me personally in my faith, but it's also a book that is perfect for group study. It focuses on the unity of the Spirit, which is ours in Christ. So as we move forward in this new season together, what does God have for us together as a church is where my heart has been and where my prayers have been. But more than just being an emotional fit, it's a logical fit in the sense that the Christmas series zoomed out for God's eternal plan, seeing Jesus as the climactic chapter of that story. God's salvation had come, sin was paid for, death was defeated, and yet we are very aware today that that was not the end of the story. The reality is today is another page in that story. If we zoom in, we find ourselves, we find Memorial Drive still a part of God's story. Still a part of God's eternal plan and purpose. In Ephesians, we're going to see that a mystery that was once hidden throughout the ages has been revealed. And that mystery is Christ in us. A crazy new thing is happening in the fulfillment to what Ezekiel and Jeremiah prophesied, where God has taken out our heart of stone and has placed within us a heart of flesh. In Christ, our sin nature is cut away and we are new creations as individuals, but then also together as a body, as a congregation. So Christ's first coming was a climax. The work of salvation was finished, and yet there's another climax to come when he comes again. And before that happens, he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for us as a church. The church he commissioned to go and make disciples. Ephesians will remind us that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared that we should walk in them. And that should give us, if we were leaning on the side of pessimism when we look at all that 2022 might have in store for us, the pendulum should swing back to optimism when we read Ephesians, because we see that we are God's workmanship. He is at work in us. And there are good works in 2022 which God has already prepared us for and will empower us to walk in. That's awesome, isn't it? To sit and think today as we plan New Year's resolutions that God already knows January, February, March. And he has prepared good works that we should walk in them as individuals and together as a church. So today, I want to we're not going to officially dive in and read the first chunk of Ephesians together. Today, I kind of want to just cultivate the soil, prepare our hearts and minds for the themes and the things that we're going to encounter together as we go. New Year's is a time of resolutions. I hope faithful to your place in the church is one of those resolutions. Not necessarily faithful church attendance for church attendance sake, because there's nothing inherently special about coming, sitting in one of these chairs and going home. But thinking to yourself, what is God's plan and purpose for me within the church setting? What does that look like? And I'm already so thankful at what God has been doing. It's always dangerous to start naming names because you leave some out. But to see us in this last year of transition, and then even as I'm transitioning out of youth and worship and into the senior pastor role, I'm not the only one taking on responsibilities. We have had people step up for worship, people step up for cleaning, for the odds and ends around the church, for all the elders have been doing, for the flip side leadership team responsibilities. There, you guys have already been faithfully walking where God is leading. And so this is encouraging. This isn't meant to be you're not doing what God wants. We need to work harder to make sure we find what God wants and we get there. That's not what this sermon is. This is encouraging. This should build optimism because God is already at work. And yet as we look forward, we want to faithfully position ourselves in a place of prayer and expectation at what God has for us together as a church. And there's mystery there, and yet God's sovereignty is there as well. So, there are two things that we're going to find in Ephesians that I've already alluded to. And so our study in Ephesians has a series title. And that title is, and here's where the dramatic reveal would be, the title is God at Work in Us. That's what I want to be our mind frame or our contemplation in our prayer as we move forward in the book of Ephesians, but also in this new chapter in in this new study. So we're going to see two things. First, God is going to be at work in you as an individual in 2022. And he's going to use, as Jeff mentioned, he's going to use others to build you and grow you. And he's going to use his word and his spirit to build and grow you. But make no mistake, your faith, I believe, is going to grow. That's the goal, right? We want to remain steadfast. We want to come with prayer and with praise and allow our faith and knowledge to grow. And so we're going to find in Ephesians prayers that say, God, open our eyes, increase our wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so your faith is going to grow in 2022. The book of Ephesians is not categorized as one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it doesn't tell directly of the life of Jesus Christ. But make no mistake, it is gospel through and through. It is the good news of your salvation. It is the clear news that you have been, that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God to you, not by your works. That is the truth that our hearts need to hear over and over again. And yet, the whole second half of the book, after the great doctrines of the gospel are presented in chapters 1, 2, and 3, chapters 4, 5, and 6 are all instruction-based. The practical working out of our faith, much of which is on an individual level. Your heart, your mind, your work ethic, your parenting style, your attitude toward your parents. And I want us to understand that the New Testament is clear that as it gives us these directives and these practical working out of our faith, it is God at work in us. It is God's power in you working these things out. God does not call you to perfection because he provided perfection on the cross, and it is yours in Christ. You are justified, declared holy and righteous. Yet he calls you to live in a manner worthy of that great gospel and allow him to do a mighty work in you. To take off the old and put on the new, this is God's work in you. That's not an official poem, but it does rhyme. Take off the old, put on the new. This is God's work in you. So I want to share with you four verses that communicate this great truth, that kind of why I can be so positive in affirming that your faith will grow in 2022 as our heart is, as we sang this morning, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after you. If that is your heart's cry this year, your faith will grow. Your relationship will grow. I don't know how. I don't know what trials. I don't know what scripture verses. I don't know what people are going to be in the process. But I want these four verses to kind of ring true. And the last one is going to be an important Ephesians verse. But first, Philippians 2, 12 through 16 says this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So here we see this idea of working out our salvation, not so that we have an assurance in and of ourselves and our efforts that we are saved, but in a sense that God has saved us from sin and we get to walk in that freedom as he works in us to will and work for his good pleasure. So he changes our heart and our mind. He works in us to will his glory in his way, and then gives us the strength to carry out those works. So there's one of my favorite. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Next, in Hebrews, we see the same thing, and this is one of my favorite benedictions. It's the one I've used a couple different times already in the last 2 months. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 say this: Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the eternal covenant that we are now in, may this God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there we see it again. May the God of peace, who secured this covenant with the indwelling Spirit, may he equip us to do his will this coming year. Next, we see it again in 2 Thessalonians. After speaking of the faithfulness and obedience despite great persecution, we read this in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end, meaning continued faithfulness and growth, to this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that our God would fulfill every resolve in you for good, and for every work of faith, by his power. Do you see a common theme popping up in these verses? God's work in us, in our hearts and minds. And these are on an individual level, right? God's work in you, in your heart, in your mind. I want that growth this year as an individual, and I pray that growth over each one of you as an individual. So lastly, I want to take you to a special place in Ephesians. And if you have your Bibles, open up, because this is one that if you're a Bible marker, I want you to mark this place in the book of Ephesians. Because it's a special place in Ephesians, as I said. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 are kind of doctrine, gospel doctrine, kind of explaining the gospel to us. And it's succinct, concise fullness. And then 4, 5, and 6 are the practical working out of that gospel in our lives, right? And so this verse, Colossians 3:20, is right between those. It's the junction. It's the transition mark, right? So Ephesians 3:20 says this: Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Again, this is a prayer. This is a benediction prayer after a gospel presentation. And if the pendulum hadn't swung to the optimistic side for 2022 yet, all we could plan with God's power, this verse says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundant than anything we ask or imagine, according to his power, to him be glory in the church. That's encouraging. It gives me hope. It gives me joy in my faith to start moving forward and praying with expectation, what is God going to do in us and through us this year? I want to be in Ephesians because there's truth there, and the prayers there have throughout time and in my life done amazing things as God works through his living word. So I want to, on an individual level, for each person in this room in Memorial Drive, I want to continue to see sin defeated as the Spirit works in conviction in our hearts. I want to see strongholds crumble. I want to allow the truth of God to sink deep into our hearts. I want to see giftings and callings revealed as we work together to be the body of Christ. So I think regular church attendance is important to this end, not for just church attendance sake, but to this end, are working out God's purpose for us individually. And the second thing that I want to see, as I've been alluding to, I want to see as God at work in us as a community. That's what the us implies. It's made up of individuals, but it also is together as a church. Ephesians is a unity building book. It grows us together and helps us envision the coming year as a unified body, as his body. Ron, during our recent installation service, and this isn't a knock, but just kind of a thought, talked about how we are all beginning what will affectionately be called the Pastor Andrew Kling years. And I hear what he's saying, and it kind of warms my heart, and it made my mom cry. So thanks for that, Ron. Yes, the lead pastor position for this next chapter is Pastor Andrew Kling. But Scripture is very clear, and I want to make very clear, and I think the elders would echo this, that this church is God's church. And I want this chapter to be affectionately known as God at work in us, allowing us together to be his body, to build a supernatural unity for his glory, with him as the head, to display his name, his greatness, his power, all to the praise of his glory. I want to take another look at I forgot to mention this, but I would challenge all of you to memorize Ephesians 3:20. As I said, that's an important place, juncture point. So however you memorize Scripture, and if you haven't done anything to actively memorize Scripture, I would encourage note cards or screensavers on phones or computers. There's a number of ways to put verses in front of you and read it regularly, and it'll be memorized before you know it. So I would encourage you to memorize Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do abundantly more than we ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in us forever and ever. So this next verse is I have memorized it, and it is a memorized worthy passage, but I'm not going to officially, your syllabus for this book isn't requiring you to memorize this passage. But I think it's an important, Titus 2, 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14 says this. For the grace of God has appeared, talking about this eternal covenant, this new covenant, this church age that we are in. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. It's training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. I love this passage. As I mentioned before, the mystery is revealed. God's grace has appeared. His plan had unfolded as Jesus lived, taught, died, and rose again. And it trains us to renounce ungodliness. So as it says, to redeem us from lawlessness, that's individual salvation and freedom worked out. But there's another thing. It says to purify for himself a people, a group, a church, to display his glory in the world. Remember what church means. It's the assembly, the gathering of believers. This is God's heart. What was God's creation mandate to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply to fill the earth with image bearers, with God glory bringers, right? This has always been the heart of God, to have a people on earth enjoying his blessings and displaying his glory. Why did God call Abraham out? To be a nation, to represent him to the world, to be a light, so to speak. Why did God call Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt so that they might serve me and worship me and be my people so that I can be their God and display my greatness to the world? This has always been God's plan. So I want to another memorize-worthy verse that is up in my brother Eric's office. It's his favorite verse. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's God's plan. And it is in Christ, but it is carried out in the church, that the manifold wisdom and glory of God would fill the earth. That is our privilege and our responsibility as a church. The New Testament is clear that God commissions us to display the glory of God in the world. Christ sent us as ambassadors. So we have this corporate mission to serve the world and to serve God. So as I mentioned before, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is going to be our second memory verse that I'm going to challenge you to memorize. So we have Ephesians 3, 20, that is that transition verse that talks about God's power at work in us to do far more abundantly than we could ever dream up. The other one that I want us to memorize is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Three verses, because this has that idea of God at work in us individually and corporately. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. That's our salvation in view. And then it says this, we, it changes from you language as an individual to a gathering, a we language. And it says, we together are his workmanship. Yes, you are a new creation in Christ, but we together are his unique workmanship. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the various gifts given by one Spirit for the mutual upbuilding of the body. That's what this is talking about. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Memorize not just Ephesians 2, 8 or 2, 8 and 9, but 8, 9 and 10. We are his workmanship, God at work in us. There's going to be a lot of group language in Ephesians. So I have just a few quotes that kind of, as I thought about and prayed about whether or not I would do Ephesians, or there were a couple other things on the table, but as I read different books and things, there were a couple verses that stood out that kind of solidified in my mind, yes, this is where I want us to go as a church. One of them was an Ironside quote, and he said this, as we read Ephesians, it opens up the truths of the privileges and responsibilities of the church. I want to dwell on those privileges. We're going to see that next week. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So let's meditate and transform our mind, focusing on those privileges and blessings. But it also says the privileges and responsibilities of the church. I want to deliberately, intentionally pray for what God has for us in the coming year. And again, our church has done this faithfully, right? Starting a youth ministry 8 years ago has affected so many lives. Starting Feed My Sheep so many years ago has affected so many lives. Starting Treehouse so many years ago has affected so many lives. What other ministry areas is God going to call us to? What changes possibly to those ministries is God going to call us to? Continue where God says to continue, but also be open to what responsibilities, what areas does he want us as a church to take steps of faith and to do? John Stott is one of my favorite theologians. And I want to read for you his introduction to his. He spent 5 years going through and studying Ephesians. And so this is what he said as he put together a book. "I believe one of our chief evangelical blind spots has been to overlook the central importance of the church as a whole. We tend to proclaim individual salvation without moving on to a saved community. We emphasize that Christ died for us to redeem us as individuals from iniquity, rather than to purify for himself a people of his own, zealous for good works. We think of ourselves as Christians, not as churchmen. And our message is more of good news of new life for an individual rather than a new society. But nobody can emerge from a careful reading of Paul's letter to the Ephesians with a privatized gospel. For Ephesians is the gospel for the church. It sets forth God's eternal purpose to create through Jesus Christ a new society, which stands out in bright relief against the somber background of the old world. During the past 5 years and more, I have been studying the text of Ephesians, absorbing its message, feeling its feelings, and dreaming its dream." So I'm excited. We're not going to spend 5 years. I'm not going to go that slow. We're going to spend 12 weeks, the 12 weeks leading up to the Easter season. Yes, the Easter season is going to be here before we know it. Christmas is just finished, but we're always moving forward. Stott would go on to say, "For the sake of the glory of God and the evangelism of the world, nothing is more important than the church becoming God's new society." I have one final quote to pull this all together. "As I mentioned, God has an eternal plan in Christ. Christ is the center of that plan, but it's Christ in you and in us where we find ourselves within that plan and therefore within the purposes of God." Tony Merida put it like this: "When we look at the book of Ephesians and study it, we read how the church is central to God's eternal purposes. The church is put in that eternal perspective. Through the church, God has chosen to make known his multifaceted wisdom and glory." What an amazing grace that God would work in us and through us this coming year. God at work in us. The verse in Philippians 2 that I shared ends with this: "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so not only in my presence, but more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. So do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." So again, I have no idea what 2022 will bring. I can dream, I can plan, I can pray, and yet God will do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine through his power at work within us. As individuals, as your faith grows, but also as a church, as we continue to move forward, there are so many needs in our community. And I have seen your heart burdened for those needs. Let's put our giftings and our callings all together as God leads And God will do wonderful things in the coming year. There may be struggles and trials of various kinds. We might not have power, but God's glory will still continue to be revealed in us as we seek Him. So what about you? As I said, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of this group of people. God be praised that this work is already being done, but as Scripture says, as you've already done, so continue more and more. And I believe and I have faith that God can and will continue to lead us onward and upward. So I want to call you as individuals and as a church to position ourselves in a place of prayer and expectation, to have a soft heart to what God wants to do and accomplish in your life, in your family, in our church, and in our community. To that end, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are amazing. You are glorious. You are perfect and good in all you do, and you have an eternal plan and purpose. From day one of creation until the clouds are parted and we see Jesus coming again, you have a plan and a purpose for each day and for each one of us as believers and for each church. We acknowledge that we are your workmanship and it is your power in us. But God, we want to be a people that is zealous for these good works, that seek out these works that you have prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So God, help us dream the dream of Ephesians, that you would be at work transforming our heart through the gospel and through the Spirit, but also calling us onward in holiness and in commissioned evangelism in our community. God, help us to serve one another and so be a light in this community, that they would know we are Christians by our love, the way we serve one another and give of ourselves for the needs of this community. God, we love you and we thank you that you have provided perfection and we get to walk in newness of life in the Spirit, and that it is you at work in us that gives us such assurance and optimism and joy. And God, no matter what comes, we know the end of the story, that one day all things will be made new. We look forward to then, but until then, help us to live faithfully with each new day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.